Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good morning.
Y'all doing all right? It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Man, I love being here. Everybody take a deep breath. I love it. I'm excited to be here. I'm TJ. I see a lot of familiar faces. It's awesome to have everybody here. If you're a visitor, it's awesome to have you here. I know I'm not a Pastor Jeff. I'm just better looking than he is. And he's a good looking guy, but I'm like a tall glass of chocolate milk. So I'm very refreshing to the eyes. I'm excited to be here. Before I get started, let's go in a word of prayer. Everybody okay with that? Let's pray. Father God, I just want to take the time just to thank you. So many times we're asking of so many things and we forget to just say thank you. So thank you for your mercy and your grace, God. Thank you for the opportunity to be your vessel. So God, I pray that you just have your way. Holy Spirit, just flow through here like never before. God, I pray that ears and hearts are open. God, use me like never before. What you say, I'll say. And when you say I'm done, I am done. So have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'll be very brief. I will try to get you guys out by 1 o'clock. So I'm serious. You guys must not have had a black pastor before, huh? Let's go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4 real fast. We're going to bounce around just a little bit. Philippians 4. We're going to go to verse 6. My nephew over there hanging out. Hearing pages turn. That's cool. We need that app for our phones. A lot of people have their app for their phone. I love to hear the pages turn. And I'm going to read it real fast. But before I get started, you know, I like to always open up with like a joke or something. I feel like every time you make people laugh or smile, they kind of put their guards down. So I'm gonna start off with a joke I heard that I thought was pretty funny. I want to share with you. I hope I don't butcher it. So it was a pastor. I'm not going to say any pastor. Maybe we'll just say Pastor Jeff. We'll just call this Pastor Jeff. Pastor Jeff was doing everything that God wanted Pastor Jeff to do. So one day, God came down and said, hey, you know what, Pastor Jeffrey? I'm going to give you one wish. He said, one wish? He said, any wish you want, I'm going to give you one. One wish. He said, what would it be? I'll give it to you right now. What would it be? He said, well, you know, God, I would love to go to Hawaii. I love Hawaii. But see, the thing is, I'm afraid to fly. I don't want to fly. So if you can put a highway over the ocean to get me to Hawaii, I would love it. I would love that. He said, I can do that. That'll be a little difficult. He said, well, anything else you want? So Pastor Jeff looked around. He goes, well, you know, I've been married about 3 times and all of them say I'm insensitive and they don't understand me. I don't understand them. He said, I tell you what, God, can you give me a blueprint to a woman's mind? And God looked at him and said, you want a 2-lane or a 4-lane? Some of you guys get that later on. Philippians 4, verse 6, and we'll read verse 6 and 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, everybody say peace. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. If we have any note takers in here, you want to take notes. If I had to give a title for this sermon, it would be Don't Forget God in Your Storm. You know, there's so many different things in the Bible we talk about. We have different storms. When we say storms, we think of rain. But fact of the matter, it could be different storms. It could be, you know, I think of Daniel in the lion's den. You know, like, that's one of my favorite stories. But you guys know, like, we look at that and we think of, like, a young, handsome guy like myself, and, you know, in the lion's den. But fact of the matter is, like, Daniel was, like, 80 years old. You know, like, that puts a totally different perspective in. Daniel's 80 years old, and he's down there with these lions. Now, you know, I've been to a zoo. Anybody been to a zoo before? So I went to a zoo when I was a freshman in college, and I was on a date with this girl, and we're going, and you know, fellas, you know, you gotta try to look all tough. I don't know what it is about guys, when we try to look tough, our voice get deep by itself, you know what I'm saying? And so we're walking, and we're looking, seeing the little monkeys, and we're seeing all the birdies and all that stuff, and then lo and behold, I look over to the left, and it's a crowd of people. And I see like a cage and we're trying to figure out what it was. And we look over to this cage and lo and behold, they had a brand new lion that just got in for a few weeks. And so they had it out in the cage and like the little lion tamer was there and she's telling everybody where it's from, how much it weighs, what it eats and all that. So we go over there and we get the information and we're receiving it. As we get there, the lion tamer is only like 4'11". Now, I love little people. I have no problem with it. I know dynamite comes in small packages. I know that. But, like, I'm looking at her, then I'm looking at this lion, I'm looking at her, I'm looking at this lion, and all she has is, like, a little wand with, like, a metal thing at the end of it. And I'm a brother getting a little nervous. Now, white people, y'all turn red. I love it. But black people, we turn purple. And, like, I'm nervous. Like, I'm sitting there, and she's telling us all about this lion, how fast it can run, how much it eats, what it can do, and all these different things. And I'm sitting there, and lo and behold, we're sitting there, the lion's just kind of relaxing. Like, I'm the king of the jungle. She's talking about me. He's like literally just smiling like, that's me. And he eats this much.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden, Jeremy, this lion goes, roar! And I think like my body, my soul jumped out, took off running, but my body forgot to go with it. And so I sit there and literally everything in me went like I couldn't even move. I was like, I need to run, but I can't. I was like stuck. And this guy turns over to me. He's beside me. He's a bigger guy. He goes, man, I tell you what. He said, if this lion breaks out this cage, we're going to be in trouble. And I look at him and I'm like, what do you mean? Because if this lion gets out the cage, I'm tripping you and I'm running. He's only going to get one of us. I'm going to be all right. But just how big this lion was. So when you think about that with Daniel being an 80-year-old older man with all these lions. And back then, Missy, they used to put those lions in there and they wouldn't feed them all the time. So they wouldn't feed them. So these lions are down and they're hungry and they're mad. So when someone gets put in the lion's den, they don't last very long. But Daniel did. And we talk about faith. We talk about faith about the woman with the issue of blood, who her faith had made her whole. She fought through the crowd. She was going through her storm with her body and going through things for 12 long years. And yet God healed her. Jesus healed her. And just like that. And like, imagine how she felt. And then you can talk about even Jairus, the synagogue leader, that when we talk about the woman with the issue of blood all the time, but we forget when Jesus gets off the boat, who was there to plead and ask Jesus, would you come with me as I go, you know, to get my daughter, my daughter needs to be healed. And so that's why on the way Jesus going to heal the daughter, that's when he heals up the woman with the issue of blood. And there's so many other things, but now we get to where I feel like God wants me to share. So we're going to go, turn in your Bibles to Mark 4. We're going to start at chapter 35. I'm sorry, Mark 4, verse 35. There we go. And we're going to read Mark 4, 35 through 40. I'm in the NIV version, so. If you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say, wait, brother. Everybody, I didn't hear no wait, brother. We can go on. Mark 4, it says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side, leaving the crowd behind. They took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A fierce squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, teacher, don't you care if we drowned? He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and he said, peace be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you not have faith? Now let's talk about who's on the boat with Jesus at this time. Now, on the boat is he has fishermen. So imagine all the time the time they spent on the water already. So imagine the storms that they've already seen, probably they've been through and things like that. And yet they're panicking. And the same people that's on the boat, the ones that seen Jesus cast out demons and heal the sick, like they've seen what Jesus can do. But through their storm, they got distracted and they forgot who they were riding with. They forgot who was on the ship with them. And not only that, like, Jesus is calm and asleep. Like, if anybody ever been woke up in a good nap, like I don't know, I like to imagine, like, imagine Jesus sleep, and he's in a good sleep. I mean, a good sleep, and, like, somebody come up, I'm like, hey, he's probably like, what do you want? And, like, imagine me, I mean, I don't know, I've been on a few boats, you know, but, like, I would get pretty nervous, but I think they forgot who they're with. Like, I get opportunity to fly sometimes, and I remember the first time me and my wife flew, we went to Miami, and we were going on a honeymoon, and it was raining just a little bit, and you know how the plane trying to drop level a little bit, and she's panicking. Rob, she's panicking. I'm sitting there, and I'm laughing. I think it's the funniest thing ever. And she's like, oh, my gosh, how can you not be afraid? And I'm like, we're fine. We're fine. I have nothing to worry about. And then we were coming back from the Dominican Republic one time, and it was storming, Mandy, and it was coming down. And I'm telling you, we had turbulence, and we were going this, there, this way. And I'm fine until I see the stewardess panic. See, I was fine from coming from Miami because the stewardess was still serving the drinks and serving the snacks and all that. So my wife is panicking, but I'm not necessarily worried about what's going on. I know who's here, and I know the situation. She's been through this millions of times. So if she's not panicking, then guess what? I don't have to panic. But when we're coming back from Dominican, and then I see the... I'm back. I see the stewardess, she's panicking, she goes in, she sits down and she's facing this, and she puts her seatbelt on, and now brother getting a little nervous. I ain't never seen that before. So like I'm sweating, I'm turning purple. I don't know what's going on, but I knew it wasn't good. And so my wife looked at me and goes, "What is wrong?" I'm like, "I don't know, but let's just pray." So I understand, like you know who you're with. That's why you gotta be careful who you're around. The other day, I've been trying to help grow flowers. A guy, Jeff Frost here, and so I'm helping him flower. And you know, me, I'm going to be honest. Like, I like outdoors, you know, but outdoors ain't just really for a brother. It's too many critters out there. You know what I mean? And so here I am. I'm sitting here, and we're moving bricks, okay? We're moving bricks, Jenny. And I move this brick, and when I move this brick, it's an anaconda jump out at me. I'm not, what kind of snake was it? What was it? Gardener snake, anaconda, same thing. Okay? But this thing was, to me, it was massive. I jump, I forget I had a shovel. I had a shovel, I could have just, but like I jumped, dropped the shovel, and then I had Saxon with me. He takes off running too. But the funny thing is, Jeff just gets it and throws it. We see another one, same thing, he picks it up. He throws it. So then later on the next day, yeah, I'm back out there. I'm doing my due. And all of a sudden I see this anaconda. He calls it a gardener. I like my story better. I see this gardener. And guess what? Now, I didn't pick it up because the brother ain't there yet. I'm not there yet. God's still working on me. I happily stood up and walked off. I came back. See, why am I telling you this? Because it's important who you're around. Amen. It's very important who you're around. I saw the way he took care of the situation and the circumstance. He didn't panic. He didn't panic. So if I didn't see him panic, then guess what? Maybe I'm overreacting. Just like the people with the boat, the disciples in the boat, you know, like Jesus is asleep and they're like, wake up, wake up. You don't see all the water hitting us in the boat and all this. And Jesus is like, come on, man, seriously? Like I'm down here asleep and y'all panicking? Do you forget who you're with? Like in our life, do we forget who our Father is? Amen. Like, do you forget who loves us? Like God sent his only Son to die on the cross for each and every one of us. And we forget, like, that our God reigns above everything. Just so fast, we forget. I'm going to give you guys 3 points. I'm going to be out your way. You guys doing all right? Y'all still here with me? All right. Number one, don't panic because Jesus is there. The Bible said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Even when we feel like he's not there, he's there. You know, it's an old saying, I'm pretty sure I butchered this. They said, just because the teacher's not speaking on me, he's not in the room. Jesus is always there. God's always there. He'll never turn on us. And even when we go through our situation, our circumstance, when we need to be running to him the most, sometimes we find ourselves running away from him. And that's backwards, right? That's not how it's supposed to be. You know, we have to check ourselves. That's why it's important to get in the Word. That's why it's important to study the Word. It's important to have prayer. It's so important to have the right people around you. You know, like I tell people all the time when they say, I want to change my life. And I ask them, do you really? Do you really want to change your life? Yes, I really do. Okay, what should I do? First thing you do when you wake up, pray. It's that simple. Well, okay, but what else, what should I be doing during the day? Pray. Now, some of you guys are looking at me crazy right now, but the first thing you do in the morning should be praying. And like I had to really check myself because I always pray when I needed something. Anybody else was like that? Just shake your head and shame the devil. I was like that all the time. God, I need this. God, can you bless me with this? And I'm not saying that God don't want us to ask for things. But anybody got any little knucklehead kids or nephews or nieces or friends that always ask for something? That get on your last nerve. Not your last nerve, your last nerve. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I have kids, and sometimes it blesses my heart when they just say, Daddy, thank you for loving me. Daddy, thank you for all that you're doing for me. Like, when was the last time you told God, thank you? When was the last time you say, you know what? Thank you for loving me. Like we get going so much and we ask and ask and ask and we forget to say thank you. Like, thank you. Well, I don't have nothing to be thankful for. You have life. You have air in your lungs. You have purpose. You should be thankful. Amen. Amen. That was free. Number two. I love the fact, this is probably my favorite, when Jesus gets up and he walks over to the... Now, I like to picture Jesus cool. You know, like, you can picture Jesus however you want, okay? I think I'm pretty cool, so I figure, like, Jesus would be a cool dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, I used to have long hair. I cut it off. I don't... I can feel the air now. But I imagine, like, Jesus just walking over to the wind and the waves, like... And all the disciples are, like, scared, and he's like, chill out. I got it. Don't worry about it. I got you. Don't worry about it. He stands up, he goes, peace be still. And he probably went back and went to sleep. But here's the thing I love. He said, peace be still. And the wind and the waves and the water obeyed him. Here's what I love about this the most. Jesus spoke peace and it happened. But you want to know why it happened? Because he has peace. So he spoke from a place of peace. So when he said peace from a place of peace, it happened. Amen. Sometimes in our life, we're asking for peace and we're trying to speak peace, but we have chaos on the inside. And you can't, it's hard to speak peace when you have chaos. And you don't supposed to live with chaos on the inside. That's not how our life is intended to be. We wake up, we're miserable. Some of us, we're not passionate about anything. So we just stay stagnant. We just wake up, go to work, eat, and go back home. Wake up the next day, go to work, eat, and go home. And that's probably about it. Oh, Wednesdays and Sundays, go to church. And we stay stagnant. And you know what happened to stagnant water? I know now. It stinks. Like, we weren't born just to be stagnant. Like, it's okay to be passionate about things. Like, you should want to be passionate about something. Like, God's giving you dreams and goals and opportunities, and we just stay here. That's why some of you guys are miserable with life. Some of you guys, I was talking to Misty the other day, some people, they're praying for jobs. They're praying for jobs, and then God bless you with that job, and then you forget how bad you wanted it. And that was your dream job. And then you're complaining about things. But the fact of the matter is, the job that you have is somebody else's dream job. The job that you have, the things that you're doing, is somebody else is already praying to be doing what you're doing. They will give anything. But yet we take life for granted. We take our marriage for granted. We take our kids for granted. We take our time for granted. We take our purpose for granted. We take it for granted. We do. And it shouldn't be that way. Amen? Amen. The last one, I'll let you guys go. I'm trying to wrap up pretty quick. I got something hard I want to share before I go. Don't forget who you're with. No matter what you're going through, no matter what the circumstance is, the situation, whether it's in your marriage, in your life, whatever it is, don't forget who you're with. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. I love the story of the three Hebrew boys, because as they were going to the fiery furnace, the furnace was so hot, Rob. It was so hot that the soldiers were burning up on their way going, and they were bind. They were their hands were tied. Now I've said this before. Like, anybody ever failed before? We got any clumsy people in here? Like, have you ever failed before? And then you put your hands out. But like, have you ever had your hands like tied, then fail? That's like a whole nother level, right? But like, can you imagine that? Like, here they are. They're going to a fiery furnace. Now, I've been burnt one time. Ouch. But like, can you imagine? I don't even like the heat. But can you imagine? As you're going up there, you're seeing the guards just, they're burning up because it's so hot. And you know what they say? God's going to deliver us, but even if he doesn't. Whew. Like understand that. Like, understand where they were in their life. Understand where they were in their walk. And it was power in numbers, right? They were always together. Even Daniel was with them. The Bible says sometimes Daniel would go to them and they would pray. Like understand, it's a lot of the times the people you were around could either help you or hurt you. And sometimes we're trying to pull people up. But the fact of the matter is, they're pulling us down. Amen? And so you got to be careful who you're spending so much time with. We get 24 hours in a day. 24 hours. One day. How are you spending your 24 hours? Who are you spending the most time with? Think about it. I want everybody to close your eyes. Don't go to sleep on me. Close your eyes. I want you to seriously think about it. Who are you spending the most time with? Is it your wife? Is it your best friend? Is it a video game? YouTube? Facebook? Instagram? Snapchat? MySpace? Who are you spending the most time with? Now open your eyes. Is it healthy? Is it healthy for you? What is it doing for you? What is it doing for your life? Are you planting seeds? Are seeds being planted? Like, what are we doing with our life and our time that God's given us? The last few months we've had some things go on, and I had a cousin that was like a little brother pass away, and so we go back home, and I've heard this sermon preached at a funeral a few times, but my uncle got up and he said something. He get up and it's his son's funeral he's doing. So imagine how tough that is, and he's my age, and he goes to sleep and he doesn't wake up. And Jeff, he says something that caught my attention. And I've heard this over and over before, but this time just hit me different. He said, Ronnie Webb Jr. was born in 1983. February 14th, 1983. He said he left this earth 2019. He said 1983, 2019, 1983. And he just sit there for a second. He let that marinate. We're sitting there. I'm thinking, okay, where is he going with this? And then he said something for me. He said something that caught my attention. He said in about three or four weeks, somebody will forget the 1983. In a few months, they'll forget the 2019. And then, you know, in a two or three years, people will forget that he was born in 1983 and he left his earth in 2019. He said, but you know one thing they won't forget? They won't forget the dash in between. He said, what are you doing with the dash in between? I want to challenge you. What are you doing with your dash? Like, what? Think about it. Like, what are you doing with your dash? We all have our time. We all have our time. What are you going to do in the time that God's blessed you to be here? Because it's a blessing to be here. What seeds are you going to plant? What life are you going to try to help change? Like, what are you going to do with your dash? I want to challenge you guys, some of you guys right now. What are you doing? Look at your life. What are you doing with your dash? What are you doing with it? Does it matter to you? Because you can have, in fact, you can have anything, you can have everything, but you're going to be known for that dash. It's the truth. And man, that hit me. It hit me to make me want to do more in my dash. And hopefully that hit you to make you want to do more in your dash and challenge yourself. So I did. Instead of getting up for 5 minutes and praying and 7 minutes to pray, my first 30, 40 minutes, the first thing I do, I try to get up. That's it. I don't turn on music. I used to turn on a little music and all that. I don't do anything. I just pray. I can see a huge difference. Huge difference. It's a relationship. You guys, everybody understand, everybody got best friends or boyfriend, girlfriend, or a wife, or a husband. Like, it's somebody you have a relationship with. Well, how do you get closer in your relationship? Communication. Amen? All the women like, yes. All the men are like, yes, we've heard this hundreds of times. And all the men said, amen. You guys are scared. They're like, oh. But understand that. Like, you got to communicate. You got to spend time. It's the same way with God. God's won our relationship. He's right there. It's not him. It's us. So how much time are you willing to give him? Like we talk about wanting to be better and doing things more, and I want to do more ministry. I want to do that. But the fact of the matter, what are we doing to get there? Like, you got to be willing to change some things if you want to see things change. But we just want to talk about it, and then we don't want to move on it. And then you lay stagnant, and everyone knows what happened with stagnant. So understand that. Like, challenge yourself. Every day I try to make myself better, because if I better myself, I better everybody that's around me. So how do I better myself? Very simple. Prayer and try to get in my word. It's that simple. And guess what? Everybody can do it. But you got to sacrifice. You got to sacrifice time. But do you want to do it? Well, then I ask you, how much more do you want to change? You know, I had a young lady stop me yesterday. I had an opportunity to preach at her church a few weeks ago, and the Holy Spirit is really moved. And I was praying for her dad, and God was giving some things to share with her. And I was sharing on my heart some things that he hadn't shared with anybody. So it was a touchy moment for him. So it was awesome how God was just amazing moving in his life. And so I got to see her a few days ago, and she said, I want that. I want what you have. Like, I want that. And I looked at her and I said, first of all, don't ever want what somebody else got. Because you don't know their storm. You don't know their hell and how hard they've been through to get where they're at. Amen? And I said, number two, what do you mean? She said, well, just to be able to hear from God and to have a gift like that. I said, why? You can have it. God ain't going to give me something and not give it to you. Now, I know I'm a good looking guy. But he's not going to say, oh, I'm going to give TJ this much, but nobody else. It don't work like that. Like, I serve the same God you serve. And everything he's doing for me, he'll do the same for you. But how much time are you willing to spend with him? So I asked, I said, well, how much time do you pray? Well, I try to pray every day. And then I said, well, you know, how much time do you read your word? Well, at least once or twice a week. I'm not judging. But if you ask, I'm going to tell you. I'm like, well, where's your priorities at? Because how much are you on Facebook? Well, I got a Facebook fast because I'm on there every day. Then that's your Bible. That's your God. I got friends that love cars more than they go to. That's their God. See, that's the thing people don't want to talk about, but it's the truth. Like, that is the truth. Sometimes our relationships outside of God is our God more than he is. We spend more time with that. When I became an athlete, when I first ran professional track, that was my God. When God gave me a blessing, the opportunity to go play pro basketball, I knew, nope, I'm not making this mistake again. When I became a professional fighter, nope, I'm not making this mistake again. But the first thing I'd done was change the people around me. It's the first thing I'd done. When I ran professional track, those people around me, we were all selfish, arrogant, cocky. We didn't care. We thought about ourselves. But I saw how that worked out. It didn't work out good. And so I realized and I learned. See, my dad taught me something. He said, when you make a mistake, son, you learn from it. You make the same mistake over and over again. It's not a mistake no more. It's a problem. And sometimes we say, oh, I made this mistake. Or, oh, I made it. It's the same mistake over and over. It's not a mistake anymore. Amen. I'll say this and then I'll close up. My dad, when I was 10 years old, we were home. We had an old hoopty. Anybody else ever drove a hoopty before? I'm raising both my hands. My dad had an old Aerostar van, okay? It was a van that had the sliding door. Anybody remember those? Jeff, you remember those sliding door Aerostar vans? And it had like rust holes on it. It was like blue and white, but then it had like some tan brown from the rust. And it was so ghetto that we didn't even have like a back bench. We had two fold-up seats. I'm just being honest. And on top of that, the sliding door, like it didn't, Mandy, it wouldn't hold shut. It just wouldn't, you hit a bump like. And so anytime that my dad ride, he had to like, We call it ghetto rigget. He had a, like, ghetto. One time I went in there, he had some duct tape. Duct tape is like, if you grew up in a project, boy, duct tape is like your best friend. If it had her, I would have took it to prom, I'm telling you. But, like, he had it. You had to put it certain way. So I'll never forget one time we mowed our lawn and we used one of his friends' lawnmower. I never forget this story. 10 years old. And he said, TJ, why don't you ride with me? I jump in there with him and I ride. And of course, I'm in the back and I'm boom, boom, boom. But I'm holding the door because I know if I let this door go, it's going to open up. And we go to the place where his friend lived. We go to this neighborhood. It's on the other side, Popper Bluff. And we pull in out of him and there's beautiful homes. And I'm like, Dad, oh my gosh, look at these homes. They're so beautiful. And he's like, yeah. Yes, son, they are. They're nice. He said, you can have one of these. All you got to do is work hard. You can have one of these. Hit a right, we go in this house. I'm like, Dad, look at this house. We pull into his friend's house and slide the door open. We get the lawnmower out. We give it to him. On our way going back, I'm talking to my dad. And he goes, son, watch this. We make a left. We go to this house. And it's huge. It's like a 4-car garage. It's like their garage was bigger than our home. So I'm like, Dad, look at this. Look at this house. He's like, I know, son. He's like, you ain't seen nothing yet. We go to another house. I'm like, oh my God, it has a fountain and it has a pool, like it's a slide. And I'm just excited. I'm 10 years old. I've never seen anything like this before. My dad just got a big smile on his face. I said, Dad, this is amazing. He said, son, you know what? I said, this gotta be the richest area in our block. Richest area, Popper Bluff. He goes, oh no, son. He said, you wanna go see the richest area? I said, yeah. He said, okay, I'll take you. So we begin to take off. And as we're driving, you know me, I'm 10 years old, I'm talking. Nonstop, and I'm just sitting there and I'm talking. As I'm holding the door, though, I'm still doing my job. I'm holding the door, though. And as I'm talking, I'm not paying attention to where we're going. We pull up and we stop. He goes, "Hop out, son." And I look, and I'm like, "Dad, where are we? Why are we here?" He goes, "Jump out." And I get out, and we're at a cemetery. And he holds my hand, and I remember walking. I'm 10 years old. And I'm walking, and I'm terrified of a cemetery. Number one, because I've seen, like, a lot of scary movies growing up. Freddy Krueger, It, all those crazy movies. And so I am, like, terrified. But you know what? Those seeds were planted in my head because I used to watch that stuff. It's broad daylight. I'm with my dad, and I'm scared. And we're walking. And I'm 10 years old, Jeff. I'm 10 years old, bro. And my dad says something to me to help change my life. He says, son, promise me one thing. I said, yeah, Dad. He said, promise me you'll stay passionate about something. Be passionate about something. I'm looking at him, and I'm still looking around like, why? I'm thinking like, is he finna put me? I mean, brother, you got a plan? I know I'm the baby of 6. I'll stay out of trouble, I promise. But he said, promise me you're gonna stay passionate about something. And we stopped, and he looked out, and we're looking over, and beautiful, and he said something to me to change my life, mister. He said, so many people die with million-dollar thoughts, million-dollar ideas, and dreams that they never push to go do because they're not passionate or they're scared to get out of their comfort zone. He said, son, if you don't want to ever do something and don't do it 100%, just don't do it. People will be mad at you, but they'll respect you more. Just don't do it. He said, but if you're going to do it 100%. Don't halfway do anything. All right, Dad. I get in my car and we leave. Why do I tell you this? It's the same way with my walk with Christ. I don't want to halfway do anything. Am I perfect? No. Nobody walking the earth surface is perfect. But I'm telling you, like, you don't have to. It should break your heart that we do and we give more time to other things than we do to God. And okay with it. Like, that's not how it's supposed to go. But oh, when we need them, and oh, when the storm's coming, all of a sudden, we're praying and praying and praying and praying and we're praying till we get what we want or we need. And then we're back just kind of doing our normal. Let's change that today. Amen? I say let's, I mean me too. Let's all just change that. Amen? I was going to, music, would you come? I had a little bit more, but I felt in my heart to do something. I don't know where a pastor is, but is the ushers here? Do you guys have these cards? Can you guys pass these out? If you guys don't mind. I know you guys have been looking at the multi-purpose complex that Pastor has been talking about. And I think that's a pretty cool thing. Last night, well, a few weeks ago, Pastor asked me, you know, hey, do you have opportunity? Do you mind to minister? I said, absolutely, I would love to. And he's probably back there turning red, wherever he's at. But I'm going to obey God. And I asked him this morning, I said, Pastor, do you mind if I just obey God? He said, absolutely. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. Last night, I had my wife's iPad, and I had what I was going to preach about. And I was like, well, you know what? I'm not going to even bring this up. I'm not going to bring this up. And I go take my daughter on a date, and I come home, and everything's wiped. Nothing. I'm like, what in the world? So then I begin to try to write some other stuff up, and then I said, well, I'm not going to even mention it. And every time I said I wasn't going to mention it, something happened. So this morning I wrote my note, and I said, okay, I'm going to take time out to share with God what you put on my heart, and also share what you put on my heart about this as well. And then I get here this morning and get here early for prayer, and Pastor had the leadership team in here. First of all, can we give it up for the leadership team? They do so much to keep everything going. A lot of them you guys probably won't even see doing, but that's just amazing. And they get here in the mornings and they pray and all that, and that's just a blessing. And Pastor gave one of these to me and to the leadership team, and I think he's going to give to you guys. You guys are walking out anyway, so you guys would have had this anyways. But I'm saying all to say this. He gave me opportunity to say, TJ, you want to say anything about this? And as you get them, I want you guys to look at them. I want you to look at the dream of your pastor and her first lady and your church. Look at his vision. I've learned, and it's very befitting to have Jeff and Misty here, because they're our leaders, and they run Victory Ministries Sports Complex, and I'm one of the workers over there. And I know that they pray about everything before they move. I know they do. I don't have to doubt it. We all know some people that they said they're going to pray, and we're like, ah, okay. But then we all know a few people that when they say they're going to pray about something, or if they prayed about it, it's 100%. And those, their families like that. And so over the last 5-6 years, when they come with a vision and they prayed about it, we jump on board. As directors, as workers, we jump on board because we know their heart. Not only do we know it, we see their heart. Everybody get what I'm saying? And so it's easy for us to do it. And listen to what I'm telling you. I've been truly blessed. My family has truly been blessed. Other families I've seen with my own eyes have truly been blessed because they had a vision and we get in line with them, with our leaders. That's how it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to go. It's not they have a vision here, but we're going to do this a little bit over on this. That's not how it works. And so when they have vision and God's giving them something, boom, when they say it, it's like, okay, well, what's the next step? And I'm telling you, because that's good soil. It's the same way with Pastor Jeff and First Lady Missy. Same thing. I don't know of anything they do without prayer. I don't. I've been around Pastor some years now. He's been around me. He's mentored me. He's helped me through different things. And I'm telling you, like, he prays about each and everything. He brought the blueprints to Victory a while ago when he first started talking about this thing. And we prayed. And every time we came by, we would pray. And pray and pray and pray. And so I want to share this story with you guys. About 2 years ago, I got an opportunity to listen to a man. He's talked about the bamboo stick. Everybody heard of the Chinese bamboo stick? Know too much about that? All right, good. You guys are like me then. I was fascinated with this story. Did you guys know that the Chinese bamboo tree, it takes 5 years. 5 years to grow, Rob. 5 years. So for 5 years, you plant this tree in the soil, Misty, and you water the same spot for 5 years. Now, Jeff, imagine how that look every day. I'm walking over here for 5 years and I'm pouring water on the ground. Ain't nothing coming out. People gonna look at you funny. They gonna be like, what is that brother doing? Probably talk about you. Look, he's going over there again. 5 years. But after 5 years, it pops out the ground. And then within 5 to 6 weeks, it grows up to 90 feet. 90 feet. Think about that. For 5 years, you don't see anything. But the foundation's being lit. Everything's getting strong. And when it comes up, it shoots out. Phew. 5 years, you see nothing. 5 weeks, it's totally different. Sometimes in ministry, or even in your life, you could be praying about things, and it may feel like 5 years. And you're praying, and you're praying, and you're right there. But majority of times, I think sometimes people just quit. We get tired and we quit. You know, we get discouraged and we quit. I've been there before. I'm sure some of you guys have as well. But imagine what it feels like to pop up. Imagine to receive what you've been praying for. Imagine, just imagine that. So for 5 years, this thing is getting ready. And it pops out. Just like a woman, 9 months. Baby's in the womb for 9 months. I'm so glad I'm not a woman. Thank you, Lord. But for 9 months. And the truth of the matter is, you can read all the books you want. You can watch all the movies you want. But I probably can agree with you. You probably agree with me that when that baby comes, it's not going to be nothing like the movies. Probably nothing like the books you read. Even raising this kid. You can read the books. You can get a degree. But to that little hellraiser's right there, you don't know what you're getting. You know, like, you just don't know. You don't know. But this is something your pastor and the first lady's been praying about and God's put on their heart to do. And so I want to challenge you guys. I challenged the leadership this morning and had a lot of them respond. You know, when people do things like this, you know, they say, I'll give. But you're planting in soil and you're planting in good soil. You know, finances is something that everyone, we need. It's no doubt about it. We all need it. Take care of your family, take care of yourself. We need it, no doubt about it. But did you know if you're planting your seed or your finances in places not good soil, it'll dry up? See, I've been there before too. And some of us, we'll go plant our seeds in things that we don't need or things that we shouldn't have. Things that are not even good for us. But then when it comes to ministry, we tend to hold back. And some of us, we pray for jobs to be a blessing to other people and to be a blessing to ministries. And then when God gives us the opportunity to do that, we forget. And we do it with something else. You have the opportunity to be a blessing to your church. Not just for the pastor and the leadership team. This is yours. And for the community. It should mean something to you. Amen? Like, it should mean something. Like, pastor didn't pay me to say anything. I assure you. I'm just sharing my heart. I see what victory does for families. I see what it does for marriages. I see it. It's a blessing. And for your church to have it, I'm telling you, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. So I'm gonna challenge you guys. And me and my wife are praying. We're going to commit to monthly giving as well. But I want you guys to pray about what God's put on your heart to commit to your church. Can you guys do that? Do you guys believe in the vision of your pastor? I know the leadership does. And I know you guys do as well. This thing is amazing. It can change your family's life. It may be your friend's family. It may be your personal family. It may be people you're praying for. Literally, when Victory started, we were praying for people. And I've seen, I've seen those same people we prayed for walk through the doors and God deliver, set free, and heal. I've seen it. We've seen blind eyes be healed, deaf ears open. We've seen it because their vision that God's given them, God's given your pastor and first lady this vision. They're going to need help. This is a family, right? We say family, but do we mean it? So I want to challenge you guys. Where's Pastor at? Pastor, are you here? Somewhere? He'll pop up. He's like, where's Waldo? Somewhere. He'll be over here, I'm sure. But I want to challenge you guys. And maybe it's something. So I want to challenge you guys. And go home, pray about it. Talk with your spouse. Especially us men, because, yeah, all the women said. But talk with your spouse. But be a blessing. Pastor, I honor you guys. I appreciate you. Appreciate our relationship. And I'm so thankful for what you guys do. The vision that you guys have. And for your church. That's the thing that I know when you were talking to us about when we were praying, you really wanted it for your church and for community, but you really talked about how it can be such a blessing for the church. And that blessed my heart. You know, it wasn't like he was trying to get his name throughout the community. He's like, I want to be a blessing to the body of God. Like, it's kingdom work. You know, my leaders at Victory, you know, even though we have something similar to this, they love God's kingdom work. And so, like, that's taught me. Because some people, you grew up, it's like, oh, well, I'm doing this, so I'm not going to help nobody else. But I'm telling you, it's kingdom work. And so for you guys to have an opportunity like this is a blessing. So, Pastor, we honor you. I want to say thank you to you and First Lady. And thank you for our opportunity to speak. And this is amazing. Can I just say a prayer over this real fast?
Please do.
You guys want to pray with me? Let's pray. So, Father God, thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, God. Thank you for just vision. And God, I pray that hearts were changed. God, I pray that people were pushed to their purpose. God, I pray that even the ones you've already spoke to about giving, maybe even a few months ago, and they don't even know they're supposed to give to, God, they know they're at the right place at the right time. God, I pray that even some people just sacrifice, learn how to sacrifice just for your will. God, you're better than us within ourselves. And you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. You reign above all. And we know just as a snap of a finger, you can make it happen. But God, I'm thanking you right now in advance for the body coming together. Coming together and reaching out to other people and bringing other people in. Holy Spirit, continue to just flow through this place like never before. Bless the leadership. The ones that are behind the scenes that no one sees. To put so much time and effort and prayer in. God, they matter. Everyone on the sound of my voice matters. Their families matters. Their marriage matters. Their life matters. Their kids matters. And God, continue to bless the pastor and First Lady. Open doors that only you can open. And shut doors need to be shut. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Pastor. Yeah, give it up. I appreciate the word. I was grateful for it's in, you know, God's always right on time with all this stuff, and it was just last week, I believe, when the architect got in touch with me, maybe the week before, whatever, about, hey man, we just want you to know that this is at a place right now where we can lay the foundation and order a building tomorrow. You know, if that's something that you guys are feeling you want to do, we can do it. It's ready to go. And it just happened to be that was the same week that his schedule opened up and he wanted to come and share his heart. And I just love seeing the things that are coming together, guys. And just so you know, there have been three different contractors that have come to me and said, hey, you know what? We believe in what you're doing and what God is doing there. And we just want you to know we're going to be there for you any way we can. We don't want to make any money off of you, we just want to, you know, do the work at cost kind of a thing. That, guys, those are like fingerprints. You know what I'm saying? That's like the Lord going, yeah, you know, now don't get me wrong. It's still a fortune, but it's not nearly as what it might be. But God's like affirming little things along the way. And I love, you know, he was talking in his message about prayer. You guys are going to get an email this week. Those of you who fill out those little Connect cards, thank you for doing that, by the way. I know that grinds some of your gears. I don't know why, but I know it does. But we appreciate it. It really does help us. And Jody and I put together a video. Some of you have seen the video on how to study your Bible, you know, tips and tricks on how to study your Bible. How many of you have seen that? Yeah. Okay. So all eight of you. All right. The rest of you, I want you to go on YouTube. I want you to go to Calvary Chapel's YouTube channel, and I want you to subscribe to it. And I want you to, here's the thing too. Don't forget, let the video play. Maybe you're like, oh, this is boring. That's okay. Don't shut it off. Set your phone down. Go clean your living room or something. Just let the video play, okay? Because that helps our metrics on YouTube. It gives our video priority and stuff. Well, we just did another video last week on, is there a right way to pray? You know, and we talk about that, and it's up there right now, but we'll send you the link to it. But one little area of scripture, and guys, I appreciate your patience, but he was talking about the need to be thankful. And I was reminded of this passage in Luke chapter 17. Now it happened as he went through Jerusalem, this is Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. In other words, as they were obeying the Lord was bringing cleansing and healing into their lives. That may be a word for someone here today. Maybe you need to take that step of obedience and see what God will do. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and he fell down at his feet, at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. And this guy was a Samaritan. This was like the would-be, ruffian, the guy that was like seen as an unclean thing in the Jewish community. And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not found any who returned to give glory to God? Except this foreigner. And he said, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. 1 out of 10 returned to give thanks. And I think that's, unfortunately, that's fairly accurate as it pertains to our attitude many times before the Lord. We're asking God to do something great for us, but then we oftentimes fail to give thanks to him, you know? So I just encourage you to facilitate a prayer posture of thanksgiving. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Amen. So why don't we rise to our feet? Thank you again for your patience today. And thank you, TJ, wherever you may be. Talk about me being a Where's Waldo. Where's this guy? Who knows, right? I'm going to watch my neck. He might choke it. Walk like this around him. But so grateful for the word, and just so you know as well, I see you, on the app, a lot of you guys, some of you guys like myself, I give through PushPay as well. There is a spot on that if you feel so inclined to begin to say, you know what, it's time to stand up, it's time to step up, it's time to support what God's going to do in an above and beyond measure kind of way. Well, you know, my wife and I are doing the same thing. We don't ever ask you to do anything that we ourselves are not willing to do, okay? But be that as it may, there is an actual spot on there you can scroll, and it's like tithe, offering, other, and then there's like a thing that says building fund or something like that. Anything that goes with that tag supports that project, just so you know. That's what that is, okay? And so thank you for that. If you have any need for prayer, we encourage you as we dismiss. That's why we have some leadership come down here. We just avail ourselves to you. We want to pray for you. Whatever your need may be, there's nothing too great. There's nothing too small. God cares for the details of your life. And so, Father God, I just thank you so much for your love for us. God, your goodness, your graciousness, and your mercy. And we pray, God, now that you would just again, pour your Spirit out upon us. Go before us. Have your way and be glorified in us. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday, and we'll see you next time.